Again, the passage is Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ be of no advantage for you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith works working through love. This is the word of the Lord.
All right. Good morning again, Cornerstone. Good morning. Yes, you guys can respond. Thank you for coming again. So this week, we're looking at this short passage from Galatians. If you haven't been here, what we've been doing is we've been going through the book of Acts for the past couple months, and we just finished that off last week. And so we're kind of in between series at the moment. And today, I chose this passage because I'm thinking about the past weekend that we just had last week, thinking about Independence Day, thinking about July 4th and the idea of freedom. I thought it'd be great for us to think through what it means to truly have freedom, right? What it means in the sense of what the Bible says, what Christ has done for us, and looking at the gift of freedom that we have. So that's what we're going to do today. And before we start, let me just open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to your word, seeking your wisdom and knowledge, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us here today, for all that you have done for us, Lord. We know that you have saved us from our sins. And we know that you have done a mighty work in all of us, Lord. And Lord, may we be able to see how that translates into freedom and how we can live our lives truly free and joyful because of it. So Lord, help us to see that here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, this gift of freedom we have, I call it a gift because all of us who are here in this room have had the opportunity to live here in this country, right? To live here in the United States. Some of us may not be citizens, right? Some of us may be, visa or whatever, green card, whatever it may be. But all of us have had the opportunity to live here. And we have seen, for most of us, that this is truly a land of freedom. And of course, it's not a perfect land by no means, but for the most part, we have been very fortunate to live here, right? To live in this place where we can freely do basically whatever we want, right? To take opportunities that we want, right? We're not restricted in the opportunities that we can chase after. And we have all of these things that we have because of the country that we live in. And, the reason why I call it a gift is because I don't think any of us can say that we deserve to be here, right? We can't say that, I was born an American, I deserve to be here. That's ridiculous. You were born here because your parents happened to immigrate here, right? My parents immigrated here in 1984, and I was born in 1989. I just happened to be born here, right? And it's fortune. It's you could say it's luck, but it is something that we're all fortunate to have, to be here in this place, right? We didn't really have a choice in it, and that is why it is a gift. And even if you immigrated here, a lot of it is fortune. It's good circumstances happening to you, right? Sometimes you're in a lottery to get a green card, right? Sometimes you get over here on a visa and you're able to get a job here and you're able to stay here permanently. That's fortune too, right? People have to look at your resume and see that, you belong here, that they want you here to work and to have that opportunity. So all of us have come here with some sense of fortune. And it truly is a gift to be here, to live in a country where we are very, very free, especially compared to a lot of other places in the world. And like I said, you know, we're able to go wherever we want, right? We can say whatever we want. We can worship whoever we want to worship. We have been granted this tremendous, tremendous gift. But I believe also that we as Americans, we as people who live in this country permanently, that we have a tendency to overemphasize this freedom that we have, right? And we hear it a lot. We hear about, you know, being in the land of the free, having this opportunity for freedom, and we hear the idea of freedom a lot. And what happens is we kind of understand freedom as making a choice, right? All we can see is choice, right? Freedom is about choice. I get to choose to do what I want. But we will see, according to the Word of God, according to what it means to be a Christian, freedom is not really about choice. True freedom is not about being able to do whatever we want to do. And in our passage today, it says that it is about the hope of righteousness we have been given through Christ Jesus. Right? Again, the hope of righteousness we have been given through Christ Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at, and that's what we're going to learn here today. So, again, freedom, again, has nothing to do with choice. It's not about choosing things. We have been given something. And the reason why it's not about choice is because if we are truly left to choose, right, we would never choose righteousness. We would never choose God. Right? We are only given this hope. God has given this to us. So as Christians, we don't believe that we can choose Him. We can choose to be good. We can choose to worship God. No, instead we learn that we have been given this graciously by the Holy Spirit. And the whole reason why Paul writes about freedom here is because he's explaining to these Galatians that they are no longer bound by the Jewish ceremonial laws that they've been doing, right? And there are these regulations and laws that they all had to do. And Paul is saying, no, none of those things really matter, right? And the reason why he's saying this is because those people thought that doing these things, right, doing these ceremonial things and putting these idols before, you know, the altar and all these different laws and regulations, they thought that these things made a difference. They thought that if they did this, that God would show favor upon them, right? That God would love them more because of it. But Paul knows that if they are required to do this, right, if they're required to obey these ceremonial laws, then they would have to obey all of it. They have to obey the whole law. But Paul knows, and they all know, that that is impossible. It is impossible to obey the entire law. This is the whole Mosaic law. Right? We're talking about Leviticus, all of Leviticus. This is impossible to do. Right? So he's trying to explain to these people, I'm trying to obey the law perfectly. That is not going to happen. Right? That is not going to happen. It's not going to work. That is not what freedom is about being able to choose to do what's right. Again, so what it comes down to is freedom has been graciously given to us. It has been something that God has done for us. It's actually God choosing us. Right? God has chosen us, and we are free because of it. And we are free from our sin, the slavery of sin. So the problem is, the temptation for us is when we understand this freedom a little bit, this freedom in Christ. When we become free in Christ, we are now free from our sin, right? We're free from the bondage of sin. It has no longer any hold on us, and we are unburdened, right? We are no longer burdened by the shame of sin, and especially as Asians, there's a lot of shame in our shortcomings, right? We try to hide every wrong thing that we do, right? Whenever people come over, we got to make the house immaculate because we want to show any of our dirty laundry, right? We have to do all these things because we're so shameful about our wrongdoing. So for us, that's a big deal, right? To be free from that, that Asians, to be free from that sin. But what happens is we kind of overemphasize this, right? And we try to think of it, and we twist it. And what we do is we think, oh, I can now freely do whatever we want, like I was talking about before, right? But again, the Apostle Paul says that no, you don't do whatever you want, right? You don't forsake the law. You don't just do whatever you want in that sense. No, you actually uphold the law, right? You are to do good now that you are free, right? You don't just choose to live however you want to live, but you are now chosen to do good, to live in faith by grace. And that means we can live in righteousness by faith, but through the grace of God. And we have hope in the righteousness. That's what Paul keeps saying in Galatians. We have hope of righteousness that has come in Christ. So that's what true freedom in Christ looks like. Right? True freedom in Christ is about God choosing us. And it is about not doing whatever we want, but it is about receiving this gift and now doing good, and being able to freely do good because we're no longer bound by our sins. So, this next portion of the message, I want to kind of go on to explain why true freedom is freedom in Christ. Why this is the case. Why this is the truth. So, I have basically just two main points, right? So, number one, true freedom is freedom in Christ because true freedom should not destroy you. Okay? And so, let me go on to explain this. So, full freedom, true freedom, I think it requires certain attributes, right? It requires certain things. So, first, freedom requires desire, right? In order for you to be free, you need to desire something, right? If you don't have the desire to do that thing, then you're not really free, right? You're doing something that you don't want to do. There must be some sort of desire that is required in freedom, right? That's one characteristic. Two, you need to have the ability to do what you want, right? You have to be able to do it, right? Just because you have the desire to do it and you can't do it, right? You're not fully free. Right? I may have a desire to play in the NBA, but I can't do it, so I'm not free to play in the NBA. Right? So, that's another aspect of freedom. Third, if you have the desire and the ability to do it, but don't have the opportunity, then you're not free either. Right? So, let's say you have the desire to do it, and you're fully able to do it, but no one has given you the opportunity to do it. So, then you are not free, because you are not given that opportunity. And lastly, if you have the desire, have the ability, and the opportunity to do it, but at the end it destroys you and it kills you, then you're not really free either. So let me go through an example to fully explain this. So I'm going to take the example of flying. Not like boarding a plane on United, but like you actually being a pilot and flying, okay? Right. Let's say you have this passion to fly a plane. Right. You want to fly a plane. I think some of us have had this dream. Right. To want to fly a rocket ship or a plane. Right. Let's say you have the opportunity. You have this opportunity to do it. But on the way to Newark Airport on I-95, you get a flat tire, and then the opportunity just passes you by. Right. So. You had the opportunity, you had the desire to do it, but now you no longer have the opportunity because it has passed you by. You lack the freedom of opportunity. So let's suppose that you do make it, right? You make it to the airport, but it turns out that you have no ability to do it, right? You have never, played any flying video games. You realize that you're horrible at hand-eye coordination when you get there. And you just can't fly a plane. Like, you just do not have the ability to fly a plane. Like, you are simply incapable of doing it. Well, now you don't have the ability anymore. You may have had the opportunity, But now you don't have the ability, so you don't have the freedom of ability anymore. So now let's say that you have done everything, right? You have done the classes, right? You've taken those flying lessons, those classes. You realize that you're pretty good at it, right? You've done those simulations. You're good at it. You have the opportunity at an airport to fly a plane, right? And you have this burning desire to do so. So you have everything. And let's say you actually get in the plane and you take off, and it's the most exhilarating feeling you've ever had, right? Flying a machine through the air. That is, this does sound pretty cool, right? And you have this amazing experience doing it. But little did you know that in 30 seconds, some mechanical error is going to happen. It's going to nosedive, and you're going to die now. Right? Now you have lost the freedom because it's going to lead to your destruction. Flying a plane is going to lead you to die, crash, and, well, maybe you might survive, but most likely you will die in a plane crash. Right? So the point is that even when you're doing something that makes you happy, and you're doing it freely, right? If it's going to destroy you, if you're going to die at the end of it, you're not fully free, right? You are not fully free, which leads me to the second reason why true freedom is freedom in Christ. True freedom is freedom in Christ because happiness and joy that lasts forever, that is permanent, can only be found in Christ. Right? What is freedom if it is not permanent? Right? What is freedom if it's not something that'll last? If you're temporarily free, then are you truly and really free? You know, it's like when a prisoner has temporary release, right? Like, let's say someone in his family dies and he gets to go there temporarily. He's not really free. He's temporarily released to go to a funeral, but he's not truly free. It's simply temporary. Freedom, true freedom, is freedom that lasts, that is permanent, something that we can have indefinitely. And the only way we can truly be free and be happy forever is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because what did he do? He died for our sins. Our sins were forgiven. And that had to be the case. If our sins were not forgiven, we were going to die. God's wrath would have been upon us. We would have been doomed for condemnation, for eternal damnation. The only thing that will truly make us free is when Christ has forgiven us, has saved us. Now we can live forever. And that is what true freedom looks like. Because the love of Christ, the grace that we have been given, that is something that will last forever. It is not temporary. It is not a one-time thing. It is something that we will continue to have forever. And only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus Christ can set us free. And we know that he has already done this, right? We know what the Word says. We know what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We already know this. And what he does is now he offers himself to us as a free gift. And that's why it's nothing we choose, but it's something that's been freely given to us. So we were all destined to be destroyed. We're all destined to die. And we in no shape or form were we free. We were never free before Christ. And especially for those of us who have lived in this country, for those of us who have tasted this freedom here in the United States, we really need to realize that, yes, it's a great opportunity to be here. It's amazing. It's a blessing. We have to be thankful for it every single day. But that is not true freedom. True freedom is not ability to do whatever you want to do. That is not true freedom. The sin and evil in this world, even here, in our country here, it would destroy us. And if it wasn't for Christ's grace upon us, we would all be doomed. And we see this evil around us. We see the brokenness around us, right? This past week is a clear example, prime example of the brokenness in our world, the fallen nature of our world, right? And, you know, I'm sure all of you who have social media, you've seen the different posts, you've seen all these different reactions to the multiple deaths and shootings this week. And how can you not see all these things, see the news, and just be so sad at how broken our world is? And, you know, for us who live here, these things are, you know, much more rare occasion. But if we had lived in other countries that are in war, that are in situations of poverty, we would see things like this much more often. You know, we're kind of sheltered here, so we see these things and we become very shocked and we tend to react very big way. But in reality, this is the brokenness that we see everywhere in the world. It's not just here. It's not just, you know, in our country. We see so much brokenness, so much violence, so much brutality. And human beings are trying to destroy other human beings. And again, it's so heartbreaking to see these things. And heartbreaking to see the world in this way. And, you know, there are moments where we do see a lot of beauty, we see a lot of joy as well. I'm not trying to say that we're just in total darkness. But it's quickly interrupted by events similar to these things. But, you know, when we especially see these types of events, when we see the things that were happening this week, can we truly say that we are free, that we live in a country that is free, that we live in a world that is free? Is that true freedom? And, again, we are much more fortunate than other people living here. But at the end of the day, our world is marked by destruction. We are meant to be destroyed. We are all meant to die. Sin has a stronghold on us. But by the grace of God, Christ has died for us. And we are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to fear. But we are now children of God. And we are now free from this bondage, from this prison. We are now free. We can actually be joyful and be happy, truly, truly happy, because of the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. And that is what true freedom is. Freedom in Christ. So what does this look like, right? What does a joyful life in Christ look like? A free and joyful life. And, you know, Pastor Jeff actually mentioned this last week. He mentioned it, and it comes from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And I believe it really fits well here as well. But Christian freedom, Christian joy, it comes when we glorify God and we enjoy Him forever. And the key word there is forever. Right? Again, freedom is something that lasts. It is forever. And that is how Christian freedom works. Christian freedom and joy comes when we glorify God and we enjoy Him forever. So how does this all happen? How do we glorify God? How do we enjoy God? Right? And the only way we can really, truly be joyful and free as Christians is we need to fix our eyes upon the cross. We need to truly understand and see what the cross really, really, really means to us. Right? And it's one thing for me to say it over and over to you guys and for Pastor Jeff to preach it over and over, but we ourselves, we need to see it for ourselves. We need to understand it truly, not just in our minds, but in our hearts. And we have to know what it really means to us. Right? So, the first thing is, when we fix our eyes upon the cross, when we look at the cross, when we see Christ for who he is, we need to see how much we need him. Right? We need to see how messed up and broken we are in front of Christ. And how much we truly needed him to die on that cross for us. We need to really, really see that for ourselves. We need to see the magnitude of the type of trouble we were in. How much grave danger, death, destruction. We need to see how much this was upon us. We need to understand the magnitude of what he had done for us. Right? If we don't see that, then we cannot really be free. Right? Because we cannot understand the magnitude of this. Right? We have to see that we were chained by our sins, that we were meant to be destroyed. So when we do see that, we see that the message of Christ, the work of Christ, it opens our eyes and it shows to us how great a debt he has paid for us. And we truly feel that in our hearts. And our natural response to this should be, wow, Jesus, you have done so much for me. I am so thankful, Lord, for what you have done for me. I do not deserve this. I should be utterly joyful and grateful for what you have done for me, Lord. Because the magnitude of what you've done, it basically makes up for everything else in my life. What else do I need but the cross? What else do I truly need? All these other things don't even matter anymore. Because, Lord, you have done such a big, huge, amazing thing for me. To give a very kind of simple example, it's like this. Like, let's say a friend of yours, let's say you were in a pinch, you're kind of short on your food. You're like, hey, can you give me $5, man? Yeah. All right, cool. So you know, it's $5. Thanks, man. Thank you. Right? You know, it's small, simple, but you know, you're somewhat thankful. But let's say you're in a really bad bind. Like, all these horrible things have happened to you. You got into a car crash. Your house is flooded, right? You say all these bad things are happening to you, right? And you need a lot of money, right? And you ask a friend, hey, can you give me $1,000? And he freely lends it to you, right? Like, think about the difference of gratitude you would have. For $5, oh, okay, no, it's cool. But for $1,000, you'd be like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. This is so much money. I'm so thankful. It's going to help me so much. I'll do whatever you want for you. I'll like go to your house. I'll clean your house for you. I'll babysit your kids. I'll do whatever for you. You are that much more thankful, right? And we have to think about how thankful we should be for what Christ has done for us. And we need to see the magnitude of the type of trouble. And at the same time, you also need to see the amount of pain Jesus endured, the magnitude of pain Jesus endured for the sake of our joy and for our happiness. Right? We see the love of Christ, and the key here is to really see, you know, that he endured this pain, immense suffering for our joy. Right? Imagine if someone literally saved your life. Like, you were standing in the middle of the street for some reason, and someone literally pulled you out of the way, and they died to save you. How thankful would you be for that person? You'd probably be in tears for days, grieving because this person has died for you. Right? This person has literally died for you. And you are alive, and not him. You would have survivor's guilt. And think about how much of that you would truly feel. Right? Like, that is how we should be feeling when we look at Christ, when we look at the cross. See how much pain he endured. And not just physical pain. Right? We always talk about the physical pain. But no, the burden he had to bear the sin of everyone, right? To bear the horrible sin of all the world. Right? And this is a person who hates sin. Right? Jesus, God, he hates it. He despises it. But he was willing to take on that burden for us and to die for us. We need to see how much Christ loves us, and we need to cherish that. We need to treasure that. And we need to truly see how much pain he has endured for our sake. And the love that he showed for our sake. And when we can do that, when we can cherish that, when we can see what Christ has done for us, right, we're not going to feel like survivor's guilt, because we know that Christ has risen from the dead. Right? Christ is resurrected, so we don't feel guilt anymore. But now we feel pure, unadulterated joy. That is what we should feel. That we would want to now glorify God, right? See what he's done, to make much of God, to give all the glory to God for what he's done. And now we can have joy in him, right? To enjoy him forever. And that's what true freedom and joy looks like. When we see the cross in this way, when we see the message of the gospel in this way, and this will lead us to do good things. Right? Giving glory to God means doing good things. Right? Giving glory to God doesn't mean doing whatever you want. No, you're doing what God wants now. You're living your life for Him. Right? We're offering our devotion to Him. Right? And Paul says that, you know, in verse 7, we didn't read this, but he says, you were running well. Talking to the Galatians, you were running well. Who has hindered you from obeying the truth? Right? So Paul is saying that obeying is important. Obedience is extremely important, because these people were obviously not obeying the truth. Right? Again, we don't do whatever we please. We now obey the commands of Christ and live as He has instructed us to live. When we have the freedom of Christ, true joy just increases in us. Right? And we give glory to God. We make much of God. We sing His praises. We shout His name. And it is because we have received this gift of grace. And we look at what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And we are just utterly thankful. Utterly joyful. And, you know, as the Word of God says, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we confess Him as our Lord, no, we receive this joy that will last forever. Right? And we have that promise. We have that promise. That's the promise that we have been given in Christ. That when we fix our eyes on Him, we will have a joy that lasts forever. We will have this grace that lasts forever. We have this freedom that will last forever. This freedom is freely available to all of us. Right? We don't have to fight for it. We don't have to earn it. It has been given to us. A free gift of God. And all we need to do is to hold on to it. To hold on to this promise. To understand it as truth in our lives. And we just simply wait for the hope of righteousness. And this is ongoing, right? It's not like we get it for one time or for a temporary moment. Again, it just continues to be given to us. The grace of God continues to be poured upon us. It is an ongoing fulfillment of the promise that Christ has made to us. So, I just want to close our time here today really reflecting on the freedom we have in Christ. Thinking about what amazing thing He has done for us. And it truly, truly, truly is amazing. And I really hope that all of us here can see the cross for what it really is. The magnitude of the trouble we were in, the magnitude of pain Christ endured. Because that is what will help you understand what freedom is. That will be what gives you joy in this life. Because this is given to us permanently, eternally. The temporary joys of this world do not last, right? We know this. They don't last. Eventually we will all die. But we have something that will last forever. So, let's take some time at this moment. Why don't we close our eyes. And let's come before our Lord. And I know that some of us may not have understood the cross in this way, the gospel in this way. Some of us may have before, but we have kind of lost that passion, right? We were easily distracted, or other things became priorities in our lives. Why don't we take this time to just come before our Lord. Allow Him to speak to you. And if you want Him to show Himself in this way to you, that if you feel apathetic about this and you want Him to do more in your life, pray for that. Pray for Christ to be revealed more and more in your life, so that you can see the magnitude of His grace, His love for you. I pray that God will show you that here in this place, so that you can truly have this freedom that He offers you. And those of us who may have heard this message for the first time, who have never really understood the message of Christ, pray that you can come before our Lord too at this time. And you can ask Him to speak to you as well, to help you to trust in Him so that you can receive this amazing gift, this gift of freedom, of everlasting joy that He has here waiting for you. Let's take a moment to pray on our own and allow God to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we pray for You to come here in this place, Lord. Lord, we pray that every person here can truly know and feel and understand that they are free. They are free not because they can do whatever they want to do, but no, they are free because sin no longer has a hold on us. And You have given us everlasting life that is forever. And You have given us eternal joy. Joy in knowing that, Lord, we are in Your presence. And that is the best place that we can possibly be. Lord, some of us may not feel this way. Some of us may not feel that we truly have joy and freedom in our lives. But Lord, I pray. pray that you would open our eyes to see that, no, in you, we have all the joy we can ever need. We have all the freedom in the world. Because only your freedom is everlasting. Lord, just help us to fix our eyes upon the cross, fix our eyes upon Jesus, to see the magnitude of the work on the cross, to see how much pain he endured, to see how much we really needed him to die for us, Lord, to see how much we were in trouble. Lord, help us to understand this, to know this, to feel this in our lives, so that we can truly glorify you and enjoy you, so that we can truly be free because of what Christ has done for us. So Lord, may you continue to speak to our people here. May we taste and enjoy this freedom that we have. In Jesus' name we pray.